Satan this morning because I'm doing that by faith. Glory to God for our 10 a.m. services on Sunday morning. Glory to Jesus. All right, I'm not used to holding a microphone, so if I'm doing this all the time with my mic, you'll know why. Good thing I don't talk with my hands, huh? All right. Are you ready back there? Ready, set, go. Luke 21:9 says, when you hear of wars and commotions, and other translations say rebellions or riots, insurrections, uprisings, and confusions, almost all those other translations say this, be not terrified. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into the truth. Father, just about the time we think we've got something understood, you show us more. So today I'm asking for more. I'm asking for greater truth and revelation and understanding, knowledge, wisdom, insight, all the things that your word promises when we seek you first above all else. The fact that these people would come out on a Sunday afternoon, I count that the fact that they are seeking you first before anything else. So I thank you for the reward of the faithful to get to every single one of them. We give you glory and honor for the good things which you have begun in us and the good things you want to produce and complete through us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said, amen. So that's Luke 21:9. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars and so forth, be not terrified. And, you know, we just had Joseph Morris with us a couple weekends ago, and the messages that he shared with us were so, I think, timely because of all that's going on in the world today. It's pretty easy to understand that I believe we are in the last of the last days. I know just about every generation says that, but one of the things that I believe Joseph Morris does better than any other minister, and that's why we've had him in, is that he has scripture to back up what he's preaching. He has examples. He has not only the Bible, but also then looking around at history in the world and says, this is what's going on. And so I think it's very encouraging. As he said, we're not here to be discouraged or fearful because these are the last days. We're here to be excited because Jesus is coming back for his church. Amen. Jesus is going to be here sooner than you think. Hallelujah. So Psalm 91 verse 5 says this, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. Isaiah prophesied this in Isaiah 54:14. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Now, I'm assuming that most of you probably know what today is. Today is known as Patriots Day. It's the 21st anniversary of 9/11, which was really a significant moment in history, our American history specifically, but I think world history as well. It was a worldwide event that involved a lot of other countries, a lot of other political ideologies, other religious affiliations and thoughts. And so you have to ask yourself, you know, have you ever... Some of you aren't even old enough to remember this when I look out, and I know the youth have already left and so forth, but when you look around and you realize anyone that's been born in the last 21 years, they weren't around. But a lot of you, I could look at you and say, do you remember where you were on 9/11? It's kind of like I'm of the generation that says, do you remember where you were when President Kennedy was shot? Now, we don't have anyone around that says, do you remember where you were on December 7th, 1941? Pearl Harbor, that was... Every generation sometimes has a significant date that they identify with that was life-changing for the whole world. And so for us, my generation, I remember exactly where I was. I was sitting in school behind a desk, and it came over the announcements that they were going to be sending us home early because President Kennedy had been shot in Dallas in November 22nd, 1963. We were allowed to go home. You know, as a kid, you think, oh, hey, I'm getting the afternoon off. You don't see significant day. Pastor Mary and I and others, we were in Rochester at an RMEI ministers conference, and we were just walking into the restaurant at the hotel we were staying in Rochester, and making our way to a table, and they had the TVs up, you know, they are in restaurants, and the first plane had just hit the tower, the North Tower, I believe it is. And so everybody was talking and buzzing and looking around and, you know, what's going on? And so, you know, of course, at that point, nobody realized it was a terrorist attack. They thought it was an accident. They thought something had happened. So we got seated, you know, trying to get ordered was a fiasco because everybody was not paying attention. The servers weren't paying attention. Everybody was, like, mesmerized by what was on the TV. And then when the second plane hit, everybody knew we're at war. Something's different. Something else has happened. And then word came that the Pentagon. Well, then word came about Flight 93. Pretty soon, it was like every airplane is being grounded. We don't know what's coming next. We don't know how many there are. It was absolute panic and yet chaos and yet trying to hold down the fear. You want to see people get into fear? The unknown. How is it going to affect me? What's going to happen? What's happening next? Do I have friends that are flying today? You know, that kind of thing. What are they going to hit next? I doubted very much they were going to hit the hotel in Rochester where we were, but we were very conscious of the fact that things were happening. And then when we saw those towers fall, that was unbelievable. Nobody thought that was going to happen. You just, I don't know if you were there and you watched it, there was just a sorrow. I don't even know how to explain the emotion, but you knew that thousands of lives were just lost. A catastrophe as far as the world is concerned, as far as our country was concerned. And we had to ask ourselves, what was this all about? Where are we going with this? What's happening? Who's doing this? You know, that horrible disaster, I believe, leaves an impression. And we know from history that the first few weeks afterwards, and churches got filled up. Every kind of church that you can imagine got filled up. People all of a sudden, they got to get, you know, they showed up at their church. Well, a lot of churches dropped the ball because within a month, it was back to normal. And I understand President Bush went on TV right away and made the decision that, you know, we are obviously under attack, we are at war. But he made the statement, let's get back to normal as quickly as we can. Problem with that attitude was, well, let's just get back to normal as if it didn't happen. Well, the government, the military didn't believe that. We went to war. And in the next 10 years, we did a lot of warfare, didn't we? More people died. A lot of people think, well, what was the purpose of it? Because 20-some years later, the current administration walked away and turned it all back over to the very people that we were fighting 21 years ago. 20 years ago, on the same date, on 9/11. Now, some of you might know history, but why did they pick 9/11? Well, in history, in the 1500s and 1600s, Islam was trying to take over Europe and so forth. They lost three major battles within 150 years, and it was always on September 11th. And I could give you those dates if you want those, in the 1500s and 1600s. And each time a Christian attitude was raised up and said, we will not allow those people to destroy our Judeo-Christian principles. That was their idea was to take over all and set up a caliphate all over Europe. And one after another, different kings and organizations, you know, groups got together and fought overwhelming odds and won, defeated them. Thankfully, in the late 1600s, one of the final battles, they actually were able to kill the person who was really behind a lot of that. And the Ottoman Empire and all those things started to dwindle and lose its influence and lose its power throughout the region. If you appreciate the idea of history and know that that happened on September 11th, that so Osama bin Laden chose that date, as far as we have been told. And there was another terrorist attack on September 11th as well, a second one. And for me, the third card, so to speak, that dropped was a year ago in September when they walked out of Afghanistan. That was an insult to me, to the people that we knew that fought, that died, people that were willing to lay down their life for what they believed. You know, I don't know how many of you watch PragerU, but there's a wonderful 5-minute video that a young man put out, was released today, about 9/11. And he's a young man, he's less than 21 years. He says, my generation has to be reminded of this. And it's a very good, just a little 5 minutes. So I'm going to encourage you to go to PragerU and watch that today or the next day. And share that with people, young people, because they've never lived through this. They don't identify with it. They don't understand what happened. They don't see the significance of it. You know, 1 Peter 3:14 says this, be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Verse 15 then goes on and says, be ready to always give an answer to everyone that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you. We have a hope in our country because it's based on Judeo-Christian principles. And why was our country attacked? It was very clear, it was made clear that our country was despised, number one, because of our freedom, our way of life, and our culture was based on Judeo-Christian principles. Their idea was it has to be under Sharia law, has to be under the concepts of the Quran and Muhammad, and they tried to say that Jesus is just a prophet, not the Son of God. They're all going to be surprised someday, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And, you know, sadly there's been a movement in the last 30, 40, almost 50 years, some of it goes back as far as 1970s, and I've been in some meetings where they've tried to introduce this and talk about it and get us, but it's called Chrislam. Some of you have heard of Chrislam. It's the combining of the Quran and the Bible because they believe that Jesus was a prophet, and they're trying to combine Christianity and Islam teachings together. And they're saying, well, you know, we all serve the same God, Jehovah and Jesus and Allah. Those are all the same God. Big surprise. Ain't going to be true when they get there. And I'm encouraging you, because a lot of the church that doesn't know the Bible, that has become politically correct, has become socially organized, not biblically organized, has started to go along with this. This is coming out of ecumenical meetings. This is coming out of the hierarchy of denominations. This is coming out of people, even in the, whether it's Catholic, Protestant, wherever it is, they are agreeing to sit down, well, we need to get along. Well, that's great, but I'm not going to get along to the point where I will compromise what I believe to say, oh, you're okay and I'm okay. No. I am going to encourage you to be ready with an answer, because right now our culture, in all reality, 21 years later, we don't have planes flying into our country. We got socialists flying into our country with the idea of communism taking over our country. And if you don't believe that, just read the news, please. And that idea is right out of the pit of hell. That is the enemy. And if we are not aware of that as an enemy on a day like today, on Patriots Day, say, oh, you're getting all political. I live in a country that was based on the fact that these men, over 250 years ago, believed what God told them to do. They came, the pilgrims came here. They were called pilgrims for a reason. What were they escaping? Religious persecution. What were they coming here for? Religious freedom. You have to understand the history of our... Some of you know my desire as a young man going to college was to be a history major and a philosophy minor. I've always loved history, always paid attention to history. history. History has been rewritten so much in the last 30, 40 years, it just grieves my heart. You know, when my grandkids come around and we start talking about stuff, it's amazing to me how little they have been taught in school, how deficient their education is on basic history, just basic history, basic geography even. You know, I can say to some, do you know where Spain is? Is it next to China? It's like, not on my map. It's sad that our people, our young people, are being brought up ignorant of the very things that they need for building blocks, for the foundation of their life. And so for us, we're a generation, whether, I don't care if you're over 21, you're of the generation, I believe you should be able to stand up for what's truth. And as it says, be not afraid of the terror. What's the purpose of terrorism? To make you afraid. To make you back off. You know, faith and fear are in direct confrontation with each other. If fear grips my heart, am I going to be as strong in my faith? See, then I might like, I can believe. But see, if fear is there, you have to overcome that. It might be when the doctor says, we might have found cancer. What does fear do? It tries to get you to question Jesus the healer. When the banker says, no, I'm sorry, we can't give you that loan. We can't give you that finances for that house you want to buy or that car you want to get or whatever it might, or your employer says, I'm sorry, we're going through a difficult time. I'm going to have to let you go. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Fear grabs you. Well, God's our source, and he's the God of what? Every resource. You know, when I lost a job one time, guess what? I got a better job right after it. Amen. You have to believe that God desires for you to prosper. Above all else, he is on your side. Fear comes to steal, kill, and destroy your trust in him, your beliefs in him. When it says, be not afraid of that terror. Let's face it, we're in the last wars days when you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars and rebellions and riots and insurrections and uprising and confusion. And he's saying to us, do not be terrified by it. If anything, I'm excited because that means Jesus is just getting closer. Amen? To me, those are all signs of the last days. So for us, when we look at these things, you know, you'll probably get on TV or the internet or something, you'll hear all kinds of testimonies and stories about 9/11. What irritates me is we were actually doing a marriage seminar in Wisconsin in a church and some couples that were attending I got into a conversation during one of the breaks. This guy was a conspiracy fanatic. He was telling me that our CIA in Israel is the one that took down the buildings and did this. And I'm looking at him like, what? What rock did you crawl out from under? You need more than a marriage seminar, buddy. You need a whole lot more. No wonder you got marriage problems. Never mind. So we have to hold on to this idea of never forget what God has done for us, but also never forget the foundation of faith that God has given us as a people in this country. There's this, again, this is, as far as a country is concerned, the place where people come to for the purpose of having that freedom. And now there's people in this country who want to take that away and say, oh no, you can't do that. You have to accept this. You have to accept that. We're all going to do this. There's only one reason for one world government, and that's Lucifer. There will be a time of one world government when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords returns and he sets up his kingdom and rule. But I guarantee you that. When that comes, all bets are off for those people. But what it says in 1 Peter, another translation says, do not fear their intimidation. Come on. Another one says, do not be terrified of them or be shaken. Well, see, to me, at the time, people were preaching, 9/11 will be a wake-up call. It's going to be a spiritual revival. We're going to have this just a wave of spiritual revival. I'm blessed by what Sean Dunn just shared. See, it's going to be on the individual level. One-on-one, you're meeting with someone, being drawn to someone, witnessing to someone, praying for someone, inviting them into the kingdom. Best way to reach people is one-on-one, face-to-face. That's how Jesus met people. You know, President Bush, as I said, it's time to get back to normal. I believe it's time to get back to God. Amen? I believe that's the difference. Now, I believe Jesus can encourage us. What should Christians be doing as a response to the anniversary of 9/11, of these things? You know, we can go to the parades, we can go to the things. All that stuff has been so watered down in the last 12, 15 years. I had a whole lot of notes, but I'm trying to cut it off because of our time here. But there's so much, there were so many conspiracies in the last 10, 15 years, like I said. People saying, well, that was God's judgment on our country because we had drifted away and that was supposed to bring people back. Well, if that was it, he failed. Because people didn't come back to God. If anything, more people have walked away from God. Because of that kind of teaching, saying that God's the one that did it, why would you serve a God who killed over 3,000 people that day, innocent people? Now, we always rejoice and talk to a lot of people, and I've heard so many different testimonies. I think it's amazing how many people were heard from God not to show up to work on that day early. Because there should have been 50,000 people in those two buildings. Because there was only one goal primarily, and that was to kill people with those attacks and to turn down or attack our spirit of freedom and take the wind out of our sails, so to speak, kind of knock down that arrogant United States. Well, there may be some arrogant Americans, American politicians, there's no question about that. But as far as our nation is concerned, we're not going around flaunting the fact that, we're free and you're not. We're saying we're free and we want to help you be free. There's a difference. But there's a lot of people, they don't want to be free. They want to be in charge and bring everyone else under their authority. They want to bring you under their power and influence. But if I have the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus that we were singing about here, those are powerful words that we have to hold on to. And when we understand that, it's not political. It's not about politics. It's about the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. It's about the freedom that we have because of the truth of God's word. You know, in Luke chapter 13, the disciples came to Jesus and they were saying, well, why did this happen? And this is a whole message, but I'm not going to get into it. But he says, listen, let me tell you something. Did these people who were murdered by Pilate, were they worse Galileans than the other ones? And he says, no, I tell you no. And then he goes on and says, I tell you no, unless you repent and likewise you're going to perish. And he goes on and says, when that tower fell on these people in Jerusalem, he says, do you think that they were worse sinners? He says, than other men in Jerusalem? He says, no. Unless you repent, you'll be likewise going to perish. Says, it's up to us to individually make Jesus our Lord. And again, I as Sean Dunn was sharing at our New Centurions men's group yesterday when he first gave that little bit of a testimony, it's so encouraging to know that one-on-one type of evangelism and revival is taking place. Amen? And that's all it takes is for someone to be moved with compassion. In Matthew chapter 9, it says Jesus looked out on the multitudes and he says they were like sheep without a shepherd. They didn't have a place that they could call, in a sense, their own sheepfold, where they could come in and be a part of a body, and they needed that shepherd, Jesus. He's the great shepherd, isn't he? And he says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest. Well, that's a job that we can do easily. You don't have to have a whole lot of education. You don't need to be a ordained minister to pray for the Lord of the harvest. Every single one of us can pray the Lord of the harvest. And then ask him, Lord, where's the harvest in my backyard? Who's my harvest? Who's the one that you're leading me to? Because in this day, there's more people worried about what's coming. There are more people worried about what's happening. They're worried about the election. They're worried about the economy. You talk to people and you can just hear the underlying fear. We were just talking with some people. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? All these nurses are going to go on strike this week. They're going to have to empty the hospitals. People that are sick, they're not going to get their surgeries. They're going to die. And, all of a sudden, you hate the administration. administration at the hospital. No, I hate those nurses. I just hate sin. I hate selfishness. I love being able to see that people are willing to lay down their life and say, how do we get this done with the peace of God? Amen? How do we work through these things? How do we use our faith in these areas? Because I guarantee you, right, you know people, neighbors, friends, relatives, they are just about to have an ulcer. They're so fearful right now. They may not show it outwardly, but there's just a... Have you ever walked into some place and just sense fear? Just sense that unease? There's something not right? It's going to get worse, people. But not for us. You and I ought to be a light in a dark place. You and I ought to be the calm before the storm. You and I ought to be the peace that passes their understanding. Amen? And again, I'm not looking for people to try to get back to normal. I'm sorry, but we're never going to go back to normal. Sadly to say, it took COVID to shake up a lot of people, but it really used it to really manipulate a lot of things in our culture, didn't it? And so we're never going to go back to normal. I was just in areas of the Twin Cities the other day, and I hadn't been in there for a long time. But I was surprised because we live down in Lakeville, and it's pretty loose down there. You hardly ever see anybody wearing a mask anymore. Or, you know, they're not worrying about, you know, you walk by and they're going like this, you know, 6 foot distance, keep your distance, don't talk to me. They're not doing that anymore, at least not where I live. But I was in an area of the cities, in the Twin Cities. Oh my, they drank the Kool-Aid there. And most of them are still doing that. They're still like, okay. And they're still, I would say at least 60 to 70% of the people I saw there still were wearing masks outside by themselves, not by anyone. Now, maybe you live in the cities, you've seen that. But I was just exposed to it again. And I hadn't seen it for so long, I thought, this is really weird. It just shows the fear. The fear that people are still living under. Because already, if you're going to be technical about the CDC has now come out and changed their... How many times have they changed their tune in the last 2 years, you know? Now they actually say it's okay to use ivermectin. It's right on the CDC thing. Before, if you used it, you know, you're going to jail, you know? So it's... You have to understand the trust. Again, this is all part of this. Didn't we used to trust police officers? Didn't we used to trust our government? Didn't we used to trust our intelligence agency that it wasn't actually being used against us? You know, right now I'm considered a domestic terrorist by the very things I'm saying. Isn't that fun? I'm on the terrorist watch list. But not God's lot watch list. You know, I love what Marilyn Hickey taught years ago. She said, you do know that if you're a born-again believer and you're doing the will of God, you've got a wanted poster in hell. And it would be, who in hell are you? Huh? And I said, well, good. I'm glad I got a wanted poster right there in hell. And all those little demons walk by and they see me and they go, oh, I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him. Huh? That's you too. But that's what's going on in the world today. There's a battle going on between light and dark, good and evil, right and wrong, and we're right in the middle of it, whether you like it or not. It's whether or not you're going to put on the armor to fight. That's it. Are we going to fight? We should never. Psalm 119 says almost a half a dozen times, I will never forget your word. I will never forget your teachings. I will never forget your guiding principles. Like one says, because they give me new life. They give me new life. You know, I'm going to quote. President Bush said this right after 9/11, gave a speech, but I pulled out a quote that I really liked. He says, America was targeted because we're the brightest beacon for freedom and opportunity in the world. I ask for your prayers for all those who grieve. I pray they will be comforted by a power greater than any of us spoken through the ages in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. See, if we are God conscious, I don't care what else is going around me, I'm God conscious. recently someone was talking about carjackings, and they were saying, well, you know, be really careful when you get out of your car and put gas in your car, take your wallet with you, put the key fob in your car. You know, they're doing all that. You should be aware and conscious and so forth, you know, but at the same time, you don't want to get into have all of a sudden now fear is dictating your life. That's what's dangerous. And of course, someone says, well, I'm going to go out and get my conceal and carry. That'll make me bold. By the time they got their gun pulled on you, can you reach for yours? Huh? You know, I'm sorry. Bad things happen to everybody. The storms of life come to everybody. I hope it's not you. I know that sometimes things come along. I just hope it's not you. I pray it's not you. But at the same time, if it is you or me, we have the grace of God to stand there and survive and get through it, because the peace of God that rules and reigns in our heart can get us through it. Are you going to be a little flinchy? Possibly. I could have someone testify here about that personally, who was carjacked. And so I think when we stand up and say, you know what, I'm not terrified. Though these things happen, it doesn't have to come by me. The terror, the fear. No, those circumstances might come, but not by Jesus. One way to interpret that is God is saying, it doesn't come because of me. Did you catch that? So he says, I will never forget your word. I will never forget your teachings. I will never forget these things. Proverbs 3:24 again. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. You know, Rudy Giuliani was the mayor of New York, and he made this statement. We must take stock of what we've learned. The attacks had two purposes. The first was to kill as many Americans as possible, but the second was to destroy America's spirit, and religiously it was meant to promote radical Islam. Now, today if you say that, you almost get in trouble because you're attacking Islam. I'm not attacking Islam. I'm defining what Islam has already declared on its own. I'm not lying about it. If that's what they say they believe, if that's what they said they were going to do, is that an accusation? No, I am accurately reporting what they said their desire is to bring us under their influence of Sharia law and to destroy anything that has to do with our freedom and our Christian beliefs. Now I don't even have to wait for Islam to do it. I got my government trying to do it. And we have to stand up and fight it. So, well, how are you going to do that? Well, we've already told you that. That's number one. You go to the polls when the elections happen, and you vote righteousness. Not your political party. You vote righteousness. Jeremiah put it this way. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon. Well, we know who Babylon is. And he says, of whom you are fearful. This is the Amplified. With the profound and reverent and dread inspired by deity. In other words, they're trying to be like God. Be not afraid of him, says the Lord, for he is a mere man. And while I am the all-wise, the all-powerful, and ever-present God, I, the Lord, am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. See, that's where our faith has to be. I know we're going to be delivered out of this world. This wicked world. I know there's some people who think their theology is the church is going to get everybody saved before Jesus comes back, and we're going to present the church as a glorious bride to Jesus. I understand that. I don't necessarily see that in Scripture. I'm willing to sit down and look at it and talk about it, but I see so many things in Scripture where the dark is going to get darker, but the light's going to shine even brighter. Amen? You know, if I take a little flashlight and just hold it up in a room like this where there's a lot of light, it really doesn't have much of an impact. But if we turn all the lights off and I hold up my little flashlight and then we start singing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine because it's going to show bright because there's so much darkness. So don't get worried about, oh man, it's getting dark out there. You know what that tells me? You're getting brighter. see that as a positive. As the devil is so dumb. You know, the Bible actually says, had he known what was going to happen, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. He's just stupid. He thought, if we could kill him, well, it's like Lazarus. God raised Lazarus from the dead. And you know what the religious people did? Let's kill him. Well, duh, you just got raised from the dead. If that's an issue, Jesus could raise him from the dead again. That's not the point. It's about God. So, Second Chronicles, again, it's talking about be not afraid of the battle as the Lord's. He says, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of their great multitude. And that's sometimes how I feel looking out at the political landscape, because of their great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Oh, I'm so glad God's on my side. He says that again in 2 Chronicles 32:7 in the Amplified. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid or dismayed, because the king of Assyria and all his horde that is out there, he says, I'm with you. He goes on in Ezekiel. He says, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. This is the part I like about Ezekiel. He says, don't be just afraid of them. But he goes on and says, don't be afraid of their words, because that's what we're being bombarded with right now. Don't be afraid. They are like briars and thorns all around you. But you are living as if you are dwelling and being among scorpions. Yeah, that's almost how it feels like. Sting, sting, sting. But he says, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed by their looks. You ever had that look? Yeah. You didn't go along with the, you know, agreed theology, philosophy, whatever it is of the day, and they gave you the, you know, have you been vaccinated? They give you the look. Did you vote XYZ? They give you the look. I'm not afraid of their words. I'm not afraid of their look. I'm not afraid of their actions, because I walk in the fear of God, not the fear of man. Isaiah 37:6 says, do not be afraid because of their words, which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have reviled and blasphemed me. God's saying, this isn't about you anyways, this is all about me. This is about them attacking God, not you and me. If we step out of the way and realize all that's coming against us right now, against Christianity, is coming against Christ, not me. Because I'm in Christ, it feels like it's coming against me, but it's coming against Christ. So on Patriots Day, at a time when we have to stand up and say, I am never going to forget what this is really a battle about. They started it. They declared war. And we have to stand up and never let culture, let history be rewritten, let other people redefine what happened. No. I mean, we got to do like, what his name, Todd Beamer, I think his name was, on Flight 93 that says, let's roll. He was talking on the phone, and you know, I don't know if you've ever read that story. I may be getting this wrong. It's a long time since I've read it. But I believe he was talking to he was talking to an operator, I think, 911 operator, information, and letting them, that's when they found out what was happening with the other planes. And she said, can I pray with you? Or he said, can you pray with me? Anyways, they prayed together, and then that group prayed the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer. And when they were all done, they just got up. And they knew, because these people had already killed a stewardess and a pilot. They were laying there dead on the floor. And so there's only a handful of them, less than 30 people as far as passengers, and they had made the decision, we're going through that door, because we're not going to let this plane become another missile for them. And they gave their life for that. You know, some Christians need to be willing to stand up and give their life and just go against the culture of, well, now you little Christians, just be quiet, sit down and shut up. You know, your day is gone. That's past. We don't put up with that anymore. That talk about just a man and a woman, that God just created men and women, that's bigotry. No, I'm sorry. My wife and I were talking the other day about people who maybe even had this surgery and so forth. You know, what's really going to be sad is if they get born again. I know they've had a lot of people get saved afterwards and grieve the fact that they had gone through surgery and done all altering things to their body. And I always want to say the good news is when they get their glorified body, everything's going to be back where it belongs, who they are, in the right place. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I'm going to quit now. I got another 2 pages of notes, but don't worry, I'm not going to read them to you. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9 in the Message talks about the fact that we are expecting the Master to arrive on the scene at the finale. I love that part in verse 7. And God himself is right alongside here to keep us steady and keep us on track until all things are going to get wrapped up by Jesus. But verse 9 says, God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of his Son and our Master Jesus. He will never give up on you. Why? I'm part of Christ's body. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says that. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. I love what the Message says there. I think a lot of people get in difficult situations. They forget who they are in Christ and who Christ is in them. They think they're on their own. Oh, thank God we're never on our own. So the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in the whole universe, the way Passion puts it, in the whole universe. Verse 19, now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations. And he goes on and says, teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you and never forget. Everyone say never forget. Never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age. Father, we're so thankful that we see the completion of this age right over the